Today, we have a different type of guest on the show. To date, we've had many multifamily syndicators on the show with vast experience. Today, we bring Dr. Jeff Anzalone on the show. Jeff is a doctor who went in search of how to create multiple streams of income. Listen to hear why he started, how he went about it, and how it led him to multifamily syndications. Jeff created a blog called DebtFreeDoctor.com, which is focused on educating other doctors and other high-income earners what he's learned along the way. Before we jump into the intro, I want to thank you. We are currently at 275 star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Amazing. We are shooting to get to over the 300 mark, so we just need 30 more. If you are enjoying the podcast and have not provided a review thus far, please take the time, take 30 seconds, and go to the show on Apple Podcasts and click subscribe and check the 5-star button, the star furthest to the right. I thank you in advance. Now, on to the intro.
Welcome to Darren Batchelder's Real Estate Investing Show. Each week, you will learn how to grow your wealth through real estate investing. Be introduced to the players that are getting it done and learn how you can get involved. And now, here's your host, Darren Batchelder.
A little background on Jeff Anzalone before we start the show. Jeff lives with his wife and two teenage children in Louisiana. Jeff is a periodontist doctor who went looking for a way to create multiple streams of income and created a blog called DebtFreeDoctor.com to help other doctors and other high-income earners learn from his experience. He's learned there are many high-income earners that are extremely smart people in their fields, yet have not focused on their financial investments, and their net worth has suffered accordingly. He's out there working to get the word out and help others. Now, on to the show. Jeff, appreciate you coming on the show.
Yes, sir. A new listener, but really like the content you're putting out, and super excited to be joining you today as well.
Absolutely. So how I know Jeff, this is going to be a little bit of a test interview here, because all the other interviews thus far, I think we're in the low 30s in terms of episodes, have been people that I knew well in the industry, or that somebody that I know well has put me in touch with. And so this will be the first time that, you know, Jeff reached out to me. You know, he had listened to some of the episodes, reached out to me, and I thought it was a really interesting opportunity to talk to somebody in the medical space. So Jeff is a doctor, and I'm really interested to hear his take and how he got involved with real estate, being in the physician field. So with that, again, Jeff, appreciate you coming on the show. Can you just start out by sharing how many properties and, you know, how many units you're currently invested in?
I'm not exactly sure about the unit numbers, but currently my wife and I are in 6 separate real estate syndications at this time.
Fantastic. As a passive investor.
Correct. As a passive investor.
Fantastic. So you are a doctor. What type of doctor are you? Where are you located?
I'm a periodontist located in the northeast part of Louisiana. So I'm own my own practice, started it about 16 years ago.
Fantastic. So you started the practice 16 years ago. When did you get involved in real estate investing?
I got involved actually kind of by accident about 5 or 6 years ago. We were snow skiing out in Colorado, and when I got off the ski lift, I had to avoid a kid that, you know, cut in front of me, and I fell, and when I fell, I caught myself and I injured. Luckily, it wasn't a, you know, nothing major, but I kind of had a minor injury to my wrist. And if I don't have my hands and wrists, it's kind of hard to do work, you know? And that kind of got me thinking, what would I do if I was either temporarily or permanently injured? Because at that time, we were only relying on our, on my income coming in from my practice, the active income. And I think that's kind of started what leading me to look for other income sources, which eventually led me to real estate.
You know, that it says a lot, because there's a ton of people out there that, you know, work in corporate America, and we're groomed to think that that's the safest place to be, right? But what happens if there's an injury and you can't work anymore, right? And you went and actually formed your own practice. So you became your own business owner. And so that's one step further where you think you have complete control. But again, if you get injured, then, you know, what do you have to rely on to support your family? So that got the kind of the gears rolling in your head. From that point on, where'd you go from there?
Well, I love to read. So I started reading like what other people were doing. And it seemed like everybody was doing this real estate stuff. But at that time, the only real estate I knew about was, we just owned our home. That was it. So in my mind, I thought you had to actually own the property. So I've got a lot of friends that are in town here that own real estate, or they work for their dad that owns it, and started going to lunch with them and looking at actually some single family homes, and realized that it was going to be a lot of work, but, you know, I was willing to do it. And then I went to a meeting in Dallas. There was a dentist that put on this big workshop that he was teaching other dentists how to get into real estate. And again, I thought it was going to be all about active investing, but it actually opened my eyes to all the other different ways you can invest in real estate besides being an active investor. And, you know, whether that would be being a passive investor in a syndication, whether that doing notes, and, you know, there's all kinds of different things that I had no clue about. But again, it had me open my eyes to see that I could continue to work into my practice, doing what I knew how to do best, but on the side, diversify into real estate, start building up passive income. And then I didn't have to be a landlord, because I really didn't want to do it, because that was going to be taking my wife and I, going to be taking me away from what I wanted to do more, and that was spend more time with the kids while they're still living with us now.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So what books did you read and to start educating yourself?
I read, I'm going to have to turn around and look and see. I've got all my books over here, but
sure.
I know one of them was Multiple Streams of Income.
Yep.
I read that. You know, I've probably read 40 to 50 books since then. Read a couple of the Grant Cardone books, you know, the 10X rule, you know, the one thing, you know, focusing on your one thing, because I'm kind of all over the place, you know, sometimes.
That makes sense. So, you know, it's, you hear that you need to bring on multiple streams of income, but if you're in corporate America, or if you're a business owner, you kind of think that you're covered. You know, like, why do I need to bring on multiple streams of income? Even if Warren Buffett talks about it, you know, and other very well-known people, until you really immerse yourself with other people that are doing that, and then you see the advantages of it. So at 5 years ago, you started looking. When did you invest in your first passive opportunity?
Well, at that time, the crowdfunding, online crowdfunding, started to becoming popular. And the big player at that time was Realty Shares. So I started doing a few little debt deals with them. And, you know, they worked out pretty well. Did that for probably a year, year and a half. And then I decided to really go big into an equity deal with them. It was an apartment complex in Oklahoma, $50,000 minimum. And then this just goes to show, you know, looking back, this just goes to show me how little I knew about real estate, because I was relying on them to tell me, or I was putting my trust in them to, you know, invest in the real estate. So the way that I would invest was I would look at the pictures, which one looked the best, what returns were the best, and then that was it. I had no clue about the sponsor, what the business plan was. I mean, nothing. And unfortunately, every investor lost all their money.
Are you kidding me?
And no, and then Realty Shares basically went under. Holy and God. Another company has brought it over. But and I wrote an article about it on my blog, and that was probably one of the most popular articles, because people said, well, you know, most people don't ever talk about their failures. They always talk about, you know, their successes. And looking back, that would have been a really good time for me to quit, because, you know, just getting into it, you lose 50K, and that's a hard pill to swallow.
Absolutely.
I knew that there was a lot of people building wealth with real estate, and that was kind of the turning point for me to start my blog, to start teaching people sort of what I learned about, you know, getting out of debt, student loan debt, but then learning what I was learning and then making this mistake, and then start by really learning how to invest in real estate with all the different terms and everything that goes on to it. So it's almost like a little diary. I would read something and, oh yeah, that would be good. Then I'd write an article about it. And then I just kept going on. And I think it's just, you know, gotten popular from there.
Fantastic. Well, so I got involved with syndications and buying real estate, both passively and also as a general partner, only 3 years ago. And in all my travels and all my discussions with people, you are the first person that I've heard that has lost money on a deal. Every other person,
win the prize, huh?
you win the prize. Every other person, and I know people that are invested in 20, 30, 40 deals. And, you know, I've asked them that question, have you lost on any of these deals? And everybody has told me they have not lost their capital on any of the deals. They've had deals where they didn't meet their pro forma, you know, with the business plan, or they were forecasted to have, you know, cash flow of 8%, and maybe they didn't, you know, achieve that. Maybe it was 4%, or maybe they didn't receive any cash flow for a while. But when they sold the deal, they made up for it and came out positive. So that, you know, is the first time I've ever heard of somebody actually losing money on a deal. And that was your first deal. You lost money and you still came back and went to go after deal number two. Why was that? Why did you come back?
I guess just Louisiana people sometimes are stupid. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about that. You had read enough books and you had, you know, met with other people that were investing in real estate. And I have to imagine you had faith that, you know, just because one deal went bad doesn't mean that all deals are going to go bad.
I think, you know, reading a lot about wealthy people and millionaires, and I think it was basically the average millionaire had like anywhere from 3 to 9 different income streams. And, you know, over 90% of them built their wealth with real estate. So it's not something that hadn't been done before. And I've failed so many times in different areas of my life that, you know, I realized that it was, you know, there's two things you can do. You know, when you fail, you can either learn from it or you can quit. And, you know, I was like, well, I wanted to learn from it. And I took about probably 18 months off from doing any type of real estate investing after that, just to really dive deep and learn and network with people. And man, I went to all kinds of meetings and meetups and groups and conventions, and you start hearing about what different people are investing in, and then, you know, like syndications.
Sure.
And then you start hearing about who people are investing with. And then, you know, you just, you know, kind of like with anything, you know, you hear the more popular people, the people that, you know, others can trust. And then I decided to bite the bullet and, you know, start doing investing and then just tried it out. And that worked out pretty well. And, you know, did another one and then another one. And, you know, the more that you do, the more you learn, the more you get comfortable with. And as I was going through those motions, I was documenting it on my blog so people can kind of follow the journey, you know, a little bit.
So you as you started to invest, you started a blog and a website, and what was the goal for that, and you know, who's it geared towards? What's the name of it?
It's debtfreedr.com, and the first goal was just to talk about my journey of getting out of about $300,000 of student loan debt and some of the financial mistakes that we had made and just some basic investing advice. And that really was the starting point of it. But then the more that I got into real estate, the more I started to switch over and talk more about that, talk more about the wealth mentality, the mindset that you have to have. Because most of these real estate conventions and seminars that I was going to, the majority of them started off with telling others, hey, it starts with a mindset shift.
What does that mean to you, a mindset shift?
And I kept hearing it. And like, you know, it's just, and maybe it was kind of like when I lost all that money and failed, but then I had like a shift, like I could quit or I could keep going. And I knew the goal that I wanted, and I knew other people have done it, and I just went for it, and I just kept going. I never quit.
So what was that mindset shift for you personally?
I think, you know, growing up, you know, we have, you know, you hear about the poor versus the wealthy mentality or the mindset, and I think a lot of us, myself included, you know, we grow up hearing from our parents, we can't afford this, that costs too much. You know, what do you think we're made out of money? And it's kind of funny that now that I have kids, I've caught myself saying, you know, the same things, you know, and what do you think, money grows on trees? So you hear that your whole life. And, you know, I naturally had this, acquire this scarcity mentality. Like there was only so much money to go around. And it kind of trickled over when I started my practice, because it was like a scarcity mentality. Like there's only so many patients that were in my area, and I was just focused on, you know, one little way to get them. But then once I started doing online, you know, marketing and advertising, and just realized there's people all over, you know, it just kind of opens your eyes. So growing up, hearing that and getting that scarcity mentality, and then starting to read about, hey, there's a difference. There's something called an abundance mentality where it's kind of like, you know, it's a glass half full or half, you know, half empty sort of deal. But once you realize that money is not scarce, I mean, there's, I mean, look with the government, you know, the government, they print it all the time, you know, it's all over. So it's just a different way of thinking. And I think kind of like whenever you accomplish something in life that you never think that you could do, and then you accomplish it, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's move on. And now it just kind of like opens your eyes to doing something different.
Yeah, and that's a great point.
For me, with having kids, I think it's really important for parents that are listening to this that words are very powerful, and what you're speaking to your kids or to your spouse and your kids can hear, that's something that can stick with them for a long time. So just be real careful of the words that you're saying, that you make sure that you always encourage them, and you know, these different principles that we're talking about today, that can make or break, you know, your kids' financial future.
So how many kids do you have?
I have two teenagers.
Two teenagers. And so, look, I mean, being a doctor, right, is very esteemed, right? There's a lot of people that look at that as being like, holy cow, this guy, you know, he went through so much schooling, you know, to get this, to build it, to graduate, and then to start building a practice. And you've had the practice for 16 years. So you're raising your children up as a doctor. Now you learn this real estate investing side. What are you teaching your kids? Are you focusing in on the multiple streams of income and talking to them about that and the abundance mindset, or, you know, become a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, some other esteemed position?
It's funny you ask that, because recently, you know, one of the things that I pray about every night is to help my wife and I find ways to stay connected with our kids, especially in junior high and high school, because, you know, you get in with the wrong crowd, that can really destroy, you know, a lot. I've seen a lot of people destroy their lives just from that one little thing. So I want to stay connected with them. And the cool thing with my youngest son, who's 13, he's really into learning about investing and finances. So he took it upon himself to want to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Awesome.
And he's reading it now, and we play the cash flow for kids game, and it's been a great way that we can have conversations about finances. And he asked me the other night, he said, "Dad, how do I avoid pay taxes?" I said, "Son, you got to get a job first, you know." But he's all into it. And his brother is totally different. And, you know, his brother will probably work for him one day, but you never know.
You never know, right?
You never know. So his brother likes other things. So, but it's cool to see that. But I used to really be, you know, make sure, you know, of course, staying in school and making good grades is good. And I recommend that. But that I used to think that was the only way to be successful in life, which I know now it's not true at all. And when I say successful, I mean from a wealth standpoint, not from other things. But now that you read about all these people that with the high school education that have gone on to build these real estate empires, or they're very wealthy, and it's a lot of it is common sense, financial common sense. But I just encourage them to pursue what they like. You know, don't do anything just for the money, and, you know, follow what they like. And then, you know, they like it, the money will come at some point.
Right. I think, you know, you mentioned common sense. I think there's another component to it, and it's not just real estate related. It's any kind of other venture, and for you, you know, you had to start your own practice. It's actually taking action, right? You can read all the books you want, but if you didn't actually make the investment, right, you never would have learned. And unfortunately, you had a really tough lesson in your first investment, but it didn't scare you off. You continued to learn from that and then started to invest in other deals. And have those other deals performed well for you?
Yeah, they've all performed well. Now, during the pandemic in 2020, the only difference was in two of them, instead of them paying monthly distributions, they went to quarterly, which doesn't really matter to me because I don't really need the distributions now because I'm still working.
Sure.
But and I think that they're really, and that's what I stress to people, if you find the good sponsor to work with, they'll invest in areas of growth and people they can pay their rent and things like that. So when pandemics and problems happen, which problems are going to happen, you'll be in a stronger investment versus maybe some of the other people that don't have as good an experience.
Right. So I took a look at your blog and, you know, it seems like it's geared towards, you know, trying to introduce and educate other doctors on how they can become debt-free and how they can invest in real estate. Talk a little bit about that and, you know, the focus of that.
Well, it started off mainly focused on doctors, but it's really pretty much any high income earner.
Okay.
I get a lot of engineers and even accountants and attorneys. I even let some attorneys in, you know. That's kind of the running joke with them. They'll email me, hey, will you let, I'm an attorney, but can I join your passive investor circle? I was like, yeah, I guess as long as you don't sue me, you know. So, right. We were talking about common sense earlier. It's amazing the conversations that I speak to. I'm probably on the phone 40 to 50 doctors or more, or some sort of high income earner or more a month. And it's amazing to me, these people that are in their 50s and their 60s and they're successful and they've made a great six-figure income their entire life, and they're broke. It's mind-boggling to me that, I don't know what, and it has nothing to do with smarts. That's right. The thing. These guys are smart. I mean, orthopedic surgeons, neurosurgeons, smart people. And they're like, well, you know, I talked to one guy 2 weeks ago, my age, mid 40s, I think in Pittsburgh, focused on getting out of debt, like $300,000 of debt. He did that. He was in a group practice. And then he decided he wanted to go on his own. And he started his own practice after he paid off his debt. And then he started not doing real well. And now he's trying to get back. I think he joined another group. So he had $25,000 to his name.
Wow.
Three kids. He's married. And he wanted to get into real estate. And then I started kind of asking him questions. And he couldn't really tell me what his income was the last 2 years working on his own. I said, well, what about your tax returns? He said, well, I hadn't filed taxes in 2 years. And it's just like, dude, you're freaking out the IRS coming after you. I mean, it's just like story after story. I mean, I'm talking about just basic financial common sense. These people that tell me that they just turn all their money over to these financial advisors and they don't know what their advisors are doing and they're making a ton of money and they're just giving it away. And I'm like, well, what are you in? What do they have you in? What are you paying? I don't know. I don't understand all that. I'm like, when you do that and you're giving that control away to somebody, I mean, you could really get taken advantage of. And I'm not saying that advisors are bad, but you should know, you know, where your money is and what it's doing and what the fees that you're paying and what the goals and strategies are. So, and it's just like, they don't want to know. It's to me, it's just mind boggling. So I'm just trying to bring awareness on the blog about that. And that was kind of how it started. And then again, it's kind of shifted more to teaching the real estate part of it too.
So, I mean, that's a great, great point. I mean, giving control away And I don't, you know, you're talking a lot about the people that you've touched, which is doctors and high-income earners that have reached out to you. But I think that a lot of people fall into that camp, okay? And it doesn't have to be people that just gave it away to financial advisors, but, a lot of people in corporate America, when they sign up, right, they sign up for their 401k and, you know, they have a few options and they just, you know, when they're signing their employment forms, they select an option and they just kind of forget about it, right? And one thing that I've learned from being around a lot of people in the real estate world is you need to take control of, you know, your investments and not just hand it over. And that hand over could be to a financial advisor or, you know, in my case, I'm 50 now, but first 47 years, you know, I put my money into, you know, ETFs, into stocks, into different 401k plans, different companies. And I just kind of put it there and hoped that, I was taught that it was just going to grow, right? But, you know, it's being irresponsible, you know, and I fell into that camp in that, you know, I was making really good money, you know, and I was putting money aside. But you have to take responsibility for those assets that you've put over there and understand it, you know, and spend the time to understand what investments you're getting into and who's managing your money.
That's 100% true. And there's several people that I talk to that I'll ask them, you know, what are you doing with your investments or whatever? And it's just like, I send them a check every month and I have no idea what they're doing, but it, you know, the statements look like I'm making money, so I'm not worried about it.
Right.
And that's their answer.
Right. You know, I read a book.
I heard a guy one time tell me, when you start a business, start a practice, never delegate the marketing or your checkbook. I've always learned that. I always kept that in the back of my head because, you know, how, at least in our field, embezzlement and fraud is huge. I think one out of every either four or five doctors get embezzled.
Wow.
That have their, you know, have their own practice.
Wow.
So it's pretty high.
That is high. So you talk about getting debt free. Do you believe in completely getting debt free, or do you believe in good debt versus bad debt?
When I got out of training, I was a big Dave Ramsey disciple. So I followed his 7 baby steps, and that was all that I knew then. And I think personal finance is just that, it's personal. So what's right for me may not be right for you or somebody else. So some people say never pay off your house because you can use that equity and use that money and make, you know, more money somewhere else instead of just doing that. Some people say pay off your house. It's just a great feeling. So again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's what's best for you. What makes you sleep better at night?
Right.
And
I would say there's a piece of that I agree with, but then there's also a piece that I would say that, you know, look, if you're going to use debt to buy non-productive assets, you know, you're going to use debt to buy furniture and other stuff that are depreciating assets, it makes no financial sense to me. But using debt to buy real estate, you know, and leveraging real estate, you know, you can get much lower cost of funds by mm-hmm. leveraging a loan. And then the equity owners, you know, their returns will be, you know, increased by having that leverage. So I think that it makes sense to use debt when you're buying cash flowing, you know, assets like cash flowing multifamily properties or other cash flowing real estate assets.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, I didn't know anything about that when, you know, the first 10 to 12 years of practice. So I was just focused on what I was learning. All debt is bad. Get out of debt. And we did that. But now that I've learned different ways, like you talk about real estate, yeah, there, as long as you're doing it smartly and doing it to where it's, again, like you said, cash flow and properties, that's different than going out and buying a, you know, BMW or,
right,
you know, a boat or something like that.
Correct.
On credit.
So another thing that you talk about on your blog and you're educating other doctors and higher income earners is the tax benefits of real estate. So talk about that. What do you teach in that regard?
Well, the main thing that I want to teach them, you know, they a lot of them think if I invest in real estate, well, then that's going to lower my income tax with my practice. And, you know, unless you're filed for real estate professional status, that's not the case. But I do want to tell them I do like to educate them on all the different ways you can get tax benefits from investing in property. And, you know, most of the time that'll offset your passive income. You got to think about how much money you have to save in the stock market or a mutual fund or whatever to get money, to take that money out. Then you pay taxes on it. So you have to invest a lot of money to get back money, you know, a high enough amount. For, you know, like for instance, a financial planner, they'll tell us you need $10, $12, $15 million to retire. And you need to be with me for 40 years and we're going to work this plan out. So they get us from day one. And so you're kind of like stuck. Okay, well, then I got to work till I'm 65 and I'm with this guy and that's it. And people getting out with more and more debt, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 of debt or more. And then every year now our salaries are either plateauing or decreasing because of insurance reimbursements, the cost, you know, inflation. Now with the way the government's going, we don't know what it's going to do to our field, medicine, if they're going to make it more socialized or what, we don't know. And so with all those uncertainties, trying to save up 10 to 12 million bucks is pretty daunting versus looking at it a different way and investing for the now, replacing your monthly expenses with passive income. And if you could do that and get tax-free income now to replace your income, well, that's financial independence. And you don't need near the, you know, you may need $1.5 million, $2 million in passive syndications or something that's going to produce passive income versus that 10 or 12 million bucks. That's a big difference. That's a lot more doable for somebody making 200 grand a year than the other way.
Right.
And so, plus what I like is options. It gives you options now that if you get burned out and you want to do something else or you want to work part-time or whatever you can versus, well, you got to work till you're 65 and that's it.
Right. So you talked about mindset before, right? So that's a mindset shift. And I went through that same thing once I got surrounded by a bunch of other real estate investors. They educated me and said, Darren, you know, instead of having to build up that big nest egg, right? And that's how we're educated through school, through college, in the corporate world, is you have to build up this massive nest egg. And then when you retire, you're going to pull from it, right? But then I had a lot of other people tell me, you know, you don't need to look at it that way. You can look at invest your money into cash flowing assets. And then you take that passive income, that cash flow that's distributed to you. And as long as your lifestyle is below that cash flow, it doesn't matter how big your nest egg is, right? And then As you get gains, you roll that into additional cash flowing assets. And so your passive income continues to increase, and you can increase your lifestyle from that standpoint. So that's, in my mind, has turned to be the goal, is how to continue to grow that monthly passive income versus, having this huge nest egg target. And the other thing somebody told me, which I know this for myself, it holds true, was that, look, you spend 20, 30, 40 years building up that nest egg, right? I don't care what the number is, whether it's 1 million, 5 million, 10, 12 million. Like, you, at that point, you're not going to want to pull it down. Like, it's going to feel bad seeing that number go down versus investing in cash flowing assets that provide a return, and then you're living off that cash flow.
You can't tell me, if you work for 40 years and all you do is save, invest, when you get to be 65 or whatever, you're just going to quit working and just start sucking the money off of there. To me, there's just no way that you can just automatically make that shift, because it's been so ingrained in you. So, and I see it all the time from, people like my dad's age. Why would I want to work in my whole life to get to the point where we don't want to travel, because we've put off traveling. We don't want to do anything. I had a 76-year-old eye doctor that I treated 2 weeks ago, and I treated 3 years ago initially. I hadn't seen him in 3 years. He was 73, now he's 76. So I saw him again, and I asked him, "Hey, are you still practicing?" And he looked at me and said, "What else is there to do?" And I'm thinking, God, I'd never want to get to that point where I have nothing else to do but just this one thing. It's got to be just miserable. So, and I encourage my kids, I'm trying to expose them to different parts of the country and the world, and show them that there's other things in life to do besides just, one thing. You only live once, and that's just got to be a miserable way to look at it, to live. So, again, that comes down to your mindset. And a lot of times what you've been taught you have to do versus, again, what we're teaching our kids. So just be cognizant of that.
Absolutely. So now you're, with the blog, you're getting people to reach out to you, and you're building up a database of different people. What are you doing with that database of people that, have reached out to you? And I forget what you called it, the inner circle.
Well, when I first started with the blog, the only email addresses that I would get are people that wanted to sign up to get get the articles. And that's it. And as it started to grow, people would reach out to me and go, "Hey, Jeff, we're interested in maybe investing. We want to know a little bit more, instead of just reading your articles, who you're investing with, or can you kind of teach us a little more?" So I started what I just call the Passive Investor Circle. It's free. I know that several people charge for, and they always ask me, "Well, what do you charge?" I said, "Well, you can pay me what you want, but I'm not going to charge you, because I enjoy doing it, And that's for people that want to know a little bit more about what's involved with passively investing. And then whenever I invest in something throughout the year, I'll put that deal out to people. If they want to invest in it with me, they can. If not, well, at least they kind of know some of the different investments that we're investing in.
So how does that work so you have a doctor that it signs up for that, you get a deal, you reach out to them, let them know you've got this deal. Are you guys forming an LLC and all investing together under that LLC? Or are you just introducing them to the sponsors? How is that taking place?
Well, I was kind of doing that up until last year, and I had a group, Nepali Capital, reach out to me. Dr. Tom Black, He's an ER doctor. And he said, he emailed me and said, I saw your blog and I like the education that you're putting out. So I just want to connect with you. And would you be interested in maybe educating our investors and maybe other people who may want to invest? And I emailed him back. I said, are you the Tom Black that wrote The Passive Income Physician that I'm reading right now?
That's funny.
And he was like, yeah. And it's like, are you stalking me on Amazon? So that was kind of the big joke that we had, that it was just such a coincidence. So I started connecting with them last year, and they live outside of their company is just outside of Dallas. It's only like a 4-hour drive. So I started meeting with them quarterly and got to really know them, got to tour property with them. And it was good because I could, you know, before I was really just investing with two other sponsor groups, but now I could compare all three and with their strengths and weaknesses. And I really connected with them, you know, maybe a lot of it because they really dealt a lot with other doctors and they kind of catered to them. They kind of know what they're going through, their struggles and weaknesses and that sort of thing. And just a few months ago, they asked me to come on board to partner with their group to pretty much do what I'm still doing, you know, basically educating and sort of like a relation, you know, relationship, investor relations, having phone calls. And I love it because I'm able to see kind of the behind the scenes, what, as you know, as a general partner, everything that's involved with, you know, underwriting properties and, you know, they're looking at, they're underwriting 70 to 80 a month and maybe acquiring 4 to 5 a year. And these people that are treating patients and working, thinking they're going to do that themselves on the side, is now seeing what's involved. There's no way in my mind that you could do that to make it right, to make it, you know, right with investors. There's a lot that's, you know, that goes to it. So
yeah, there's a lot more involved than what you see just all of a sudden getting a PowerPoint saying here's the deal. Yeah, it's funny too with you know, multifamily mentorship groups. You know, I've talked to people where people reached out and said, Darren, I want to get involved, I want to become a sponsor, but you know, these multifamily mentorship groups, they charge a lot of money, and you know, I would join if they would guarantee me a deal. And I'm like, you know, then don't join, because you know, you're still going to have to go out there and hustle, you know, but it gives you the opportunity to meet a lot of people in the industry quickly. And it probably shortens the time frame on getting from 0 to 1. But so now, where do most of your relationships come from? Is it coming from in-state, or is it coming from all over the country? What, you know, help me understand kind of your presence with the blog and where your relationships are coming from.
Well, I'll kind of take a step back. You got to realize when I started the blog, literally the only thing that I knew how to do was get on the internet, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I had to teach myself, and you know, there's so many resources for free online that you could do, but I taught myself how to start a blog, which wasn't hard. And then I took a course, I think for like $500, which for the first probably 4 or 5 months I was writing articles, but nobody was reading them. It's like, what's the point? So once I took that course, and a lot of it just clicked with me about how to, almost like finding the needles in the haystack, because maybe take passive income, for instance. Well, if I try to write an article that ranks, you know, number one on or first page of Google on passive income, that's probably next to impossible, because so many other huge websites are also competing. So you have to figure out what in the passive income, there's all these different keyword phrases and everything, but you got to find one where there's low competition for. And then once you rank with that up high, well, then you can start ranking for other things. That was kind of the gist that they taught us on that course. And I caught on pretty well, and I was able to rank number one after just a few weeks. And I remember going to a convention and telling people that, and they were just like, we've been blogging for 4 or 5 years and we haven't even gotten on page one of Google. And once you start talking to them, they just, you know, don't really have a lot of good habits or not consistent with it. And you just got to do that to be successful in life. Had a pastor that I just recently heard that said, let's see, successful people do things consistently that most people do occasionally. I thought that was a great line, and that goes with anything from athletics to education to building wealth. But if you get these habits and you do them consistently, then that's the difference between success and not. And I just did that, and it just really started to grow and take off. So now that's able to get people from all over the country. I got people from India and, you know, the UK.
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty crazy, the traffic that's taken off. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So a few things that you said, you know, along your journey was, I mean, look, you're a doctor, you built your own practice, right? You could have just went and worked for another practice. So that was a risk, and you've had a successful practice for 16 years. Then you decided to take control of your financial assets, and you invested in a deal. You got burned. You lost capital, but it didn't scare you off. You continued to educate yourself. And when you did that, you realized, look, even though that first deal went bad, you know, the wealthy 90% of millionaires are created with real estate. I'm going to continue down this path and continue to educate myself. You started to invest in these other syndications, and they performed well. Then you actually wanted to start a blog and educate people. You didn't know how to do it, you know, that you didn't know how to do it, and you went and figured it out. And then you paid for a course to help you, you know, and then you thought through, like, okay, well, I'm writing a blog, but nobody's, you know, reading it. How can I get people to read it? I mean, so you took different action steps to change your situation, which there's a lot of people out there that want to change their situation, but they either are unwilling or they're afraid to take the chance and learn and take action. So I applaud you for making those efforts. And then
on that note, I don't mean to cut you off,
sure,
but
no.
Probably once a month, I'll have a call with somebody that they know as much or more about real estate than I do. I mean, they can spit off cap rates and, I mean, you name it. I'm like, man, how many units are you invested in?
None.
What do you mean? Well, I don't know. I think I'm overanalyzing everything. And I said, how long have you been doing this? I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. And I said, look, you're going to call me in 10 years and I'm going to be beyond retirement and you're going to still be having this conversation. I'm still analyzing everything. So sometimes you got to put faith in yourself that you know what you're doing. And I'm not talking about invest $1 million, you know, do something small just to prove that you know what you're doing, and you're going to fail, but then that's how you learn. And as long as you're progressing and not just completely going bankrupt, you're progressing and you're doing it smartly. And that's the only way to learn, you know, kind of like when you learn to crawl, you didn't go from crawling to sprinting. You would walk a few steps, you'd fall, you'd figure it out, you know, and that's just life. So, you know, have some faith in yourself and put trust in yourself and go for it.
That's a great point. I've had people on here that, you know, have owned over 3,000 units, 4,000 units. And when I met them, they were already successful, right? So I thought they were always successful, right? But everybody starts with no investment properties. Everybody starts the same, with no experience, with zero units, right? And when I've had these interviews with them, I've asked them, like, you know, did you go to hero status right away? And almost everyone shares a stumbling block, you know, a failure, a painful investment. And then they just like yourself, they continued to learn and educate themselves and press on. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, lose your capital to have a failure. You know, you don't have to have that happen. And like I said, you're the first one that I've talked to that has actually lost their capital. But, you know, you may end up getting into, you know, a deal that doesn't perform as well as you thought. And then you're going to say to yourself, well, you know, what can I do differently next time? You know, maybe it's, I'm going to invest in a different area or a different class of asset or a different sponsor. But whatever the case may be, to your point, that guy that's, you know, 10 years from now, he probably still will not have invested.
Yep, that's true.
So, Jeff, what do you like to do outside of business?
I'm a big reader. I like to work out, play a lot of tennis with my kids, basketball, a lot of sports. We travel a good bit. And I love my Fridays off to really work on the blog and connect with people and to educate people. So to me, that's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome. So what's the next big stretch goal for you?
Hopefully at some point we'll get to start really getting out and meeting again. I like to meet face to face, you know, do some talks instead of doing everything, you know, via Zoom or doing it virtually. And, I would really like to put together, you know, bring together, several people that can really educate a lot of people at once, you know, whether it's from a tax standpoint, real estate standpoint, an attorney standpoint that can, because, you know, as you know, you get into real estate, well, there's tax benefits. You need some legal advice sometimes if you want to set up an LLC. There's huge tax benefits that I'm not an accountant, but that people could get. And I'm sure there's different ways. I talked with a ophthalmologist that was in his fellowship last week, and his wife was in real estate and she has been in real estate for a while. And I was like, man, you are perfectly set up to eventually file a real estate professional status. And he really didn't know much about it. I said, man, that's going to save y'all hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, in, you know, several years in taxes. And so just being able to, I mean, just one phone call, I saved him no telling what, just from giving him that knowledge. So there's so much that we can learn from other people. So why keep it to ourselves? And, you know, I don't want anybody to take care of me. I don't want the government to take care of me. I want to do everything for myself, but I think the world would be a lot better place if we would all stick together and help each other. And I think that we can do that. Just share what you know and continue to learn.
That's huge. It sounds like that's something that's in your heart, that you just have a passion for helping others and sharing with others. One idea is, you know, have you considered starting a meetup group in your area?
I did. Until, you know, everything kind of shut down last year. But I did talk with some people that did attend the meetup group. And I'm in such a small area that there wasn't a whole lot of popularity. So I may have to go to a little bit more, a larger city to do that. But yeah, that's definitely an opportunity to do that.
Fantastic. So if somebody is listening here and wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
A couple of ways they could go to the website. It's debtfreedr.com. And if they want to download, I put together a free passive income guide. So they can go to debtfreedr.com/free guide to download that. Also, they could email me jeff@debtfreedr.com.
Fantastic. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with others. I think it's, you know, it's important to hear from other people that aren't just syndicators who are, you know, doing thousands, thousands of units, but, you know, hearing the experiences of people that, you know, had a curiosity to learn how to take control of their finances and how to get involved in real estate from a passive side. And now you're turning around and taking the education that you've learned and you're sharing it with others, which is fantastic. So appreciate you coming on. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that one. Until next week, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Darren Batchelder's Real Estate Investing Show at darrenbatchelder.com. If you liked the episode, please provide us with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. If you already provided us with a 5-star review, then thank you, and please share the show with a friend.